this has been, up until this particular point, a very cheery and lighthearted passage of Scripture. And wouldn't it be wonderful if all of life was the first part of it? All the food we would need, all the care and comfort and the paths of righteousness, always being able to access what the right thing to do would be. Life would be wonderful, but that's not what life is. With everything, there's good and there's also a little bad. There's rejoicing coupled with some random heartache. And I tell you what, the good things, so often they'll brighten up the dark things, but every now and then we find ourselves where the psalmist is talking about here, in a deep, dark place. Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Not every step taken in this life is taken in safety. There are moments where the road gets dark, moments of fear and great loss, things that take place that cast a long shadow on our lives. You know, I think today's Father's Day. Many that celebrate Father's Day have lost their own fathers. And many who are fathers perhaps have dealt with the loss of a child. Death colors everything, casts a bit of a tint on everything. And yes, there are blessings, and yes, there is healing. Yes, it is wonderful, but no doubt death leaves a shadow. Not that the Bible teaches of the Hollywood version of death, a cloaked individual with a sickle that come by. There is an angel of death, but believe you me, he don't look nothing like what we see on the television. All right, but death itself, it casts a pallor. I've heard it described this way, and I thought it was beautiful. The shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of death, represents or is represented by that time between the test that you take at the hospital and the doctor coming back. It is that time of, hey, listen, we've got a serious concern. We've got this cancer, we've got this disease, and if we don't get in front of it, you're not going to last. It is that shade that hangs over us, that one day we will be gone. Could be illness, could be calamity, could be exactly as it says, death. Either way, we see there is a bit of darkness in our road. And I am so glad that we do not walk those dark paths by ourselves. I think I've told that illustration before, that story before. We had property up north, my mama and papa did. And my dad, he grew up there. He could walk from one property to somebody else's property without a flashlight. Now, when I was a kid, that was magic. How can you see, Dad? And I was terrified. I was scared. We're out in the woods. Nothing but trees. I was stumbling over stuff. Most of the time I was barefoot out there. I was concerned about stepping on a snake and getting bit. I was worried. But my dad, he could walk through those woods without a flashlight. Just grab a hold of my hand. One time he told me, he goes, "Just shut your eyes." Why? Because you're jumping at everything. Just close. Okay. And I walked one time. I probably had to be Gideon's age. My eyes pressed firmly closed. Just walking through the woods, my dad holding my hand. Because I was so afraid of everything going on. And as I got older, I got to be more comfortable. I still don't think I could ever reach the level my dad was at. But just comfort. You know, that's our Heavenly Father. We walk through roads in life that we are unfamiliar with, that are intimidating and scary. From news to the doctor to phone calls from friends, bad news happens all the time. I'm glad that I know and serve a God who knows when my appointed time is and can walk me every step of the way up to that point. We've often referenced that we don't know how much time we have. You know, we like to sit there and think that just because you're younger, you got more time. There's no guarantees of that. There are people I graduated with already in the ground, right? And some of you sit there, you're like, well, I don't know how much longer I got. Lord might give you another 20 years. You don't know. 17 if you go by my calendar, right? We don't know. But God's going to watch every step of the way. He is going to be battling in every moment. And every situation and everything that we are called to deal with, we do not deal with them alone. The psalmist reminds us that though we walk through the valleys of life, even that of the shadow of death, we have no cause to be afraid. For it is God that walks with us. Life can be filled with uncertainty. It is hard to see much from our linear perspective. However, the God of all things, who knows all things, has written us a philosophy and a code of conduct that will sustain us no matter which valleys we find ourselves in. I've often heard of that poetical expression of being up on the mountain. Now, I've climbed a few things in my life, not recently, but I've climbed a few things. And you get up top and you look out at all the beautiful things. It is good to be on the mountain. You feel success up there. Hey, look what I accomplished. Look at this beautiful view. Look at all the things that I can see. Oh, God's creation sure is beautiful. It's good to be on the mountain. When you sit there and you're in those milestones. Oh, here's the celebration we're having. Hey, we're on vacation. Hey, we just had another child. We just had a marriage in our family. Hey, we just baptized somebody. Brother Mark Clark was out there. They baptized two people down there today. Praise the Lord for that. We have these mountaintop experiences and we ought to praise God for them. But you can't live on the mountain. Every now and then you got to travel down to the valley. And don't forget that same God, as the song says, that is high up on the mountain with you, will be the same God that walks through that valley with you. We do not walk through life alone. Not only does God have an interest in what we do, but He has an interest in what goes on in our lives. He cares for you. He loves you. Right? You think about this, you take a child in to get shots. Now my mom, she'd be right there. All right, hold on. She'd grab my arm. She'd hang on to me. She'd give me that comfort that I needed. My dad, the one time he took me, he just held me down. Just felt that arm come across like a roller coaster ride. Just boom. Get him. You know, my God, he walks through things with me. Comforts me along the way. Even so much to a time where I don't understand what's going on. I don't know where this road is going to lead, but I can sit there and say, Lord, I trust you. Every time I've gotten myself into a bad patch, every time life has handed me lemons, so to say, you've been there, Father. You've been there to watch over me. You've been there to comfort me. You've been there to take away things. Bad news that I thought there's nothing we can do something, nothing we can do about it. But in the next day we go back and all of a sudden here's the answer that God has supplied perfectly. You know, we're going to have to walk through valleys. The fact that you've got a pulse is evidence that you're eventually going to have to walk through a valley. Valleys of troubles where there's bad news, where we struggle, where there's obstacles. We're going to walk through valleys of illnesses, chronic, terminal, and sometimes undiagnosable. I think about that. When I was a kid, I used to have bad stomach issues, really bad ones. And every time I'd go to the doctor, they either say, you're okay, or we can't figure you out. The second week of our marriage, I was in the hospital before they figured out what was wrong with me. Years went by. What's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? What's happening here? Why is it that I keep, you know, having these issues? You trust in the Lord. And it took a while, but there it was. You know, the chronic illness is bad. The terminal illness is bad. But I think it could be just as heart-wrenching when you've got something they can't diagnose. Because then you're like, am I dying? You know, what does this mean? I think that so often with some of our folks with ongoing pain issues. We've got some folks in our church with that. Well, there's nothing we can do. We don't quite know what's going on there. We don't quite know what to do to make it go away. I think that's hard. You know that's hard. Right? It is what it is. That's a horrible thing to hear from a physician about pain, isn't it? It is what it is. Or probably your all too favorite one. Well, at a certain age, that just happens. Isn't that mean? That is mean. And it's like, well, do you want to take me out to pasture yourself, or do you got a guy? You know, it's almost embarrassing. But no, we're going to face illness. We're going to face pain. And I'll tell you what, barring the rapture, we're going to face death. As one of my teachers used to say, ain't none of us getting out of here alive, folks. And without the rapture, that's exactly what's happening. One day, we're going to have to cross that point. Now, favorably, I'd like to see the rapture. I think that'd be a wild ride. You know, this body can't handle roller coasters anymore. But I think that'd be the last great one in my life. But either the Lord, as we sang, either we face death, or we're called home to Him. One day we're going to meet Him. We're going to have to walk through valleys. Not just our deaths, but we're going to have to deal with the death of so many different people along the way. These last few years have been hard for me doing funerals. Just seems to be one after the other. You finish up with one uncle, you got to prepare to do another's. And that is difficult to deal with death. But this is the land of the dying. This is the land of the goodbye. And absolutely nobody really wants to live forever if you think about it. Now, I've often thought about that in the stories where people live for thousands of years. I think I'd lose my mind. You know, not just from homesickness, but from just being around too long. Too much to think about. There comes a time for all of us to walk through these valleys. You know, you hear so many people, they try to prove that God does not exist because these valleys exist. This is the world we live in. When your God says, don't do that, or else you're going to bring death into the world. And you do that, you got to expect death to enter into the world. He made it very clear, don't touch that. Well, I mean, how is it that God would allow this person to die or that person to die? Hey, we all have to go at one time or another. This corruptible flesh is just that. It's corruptible. It breaks down. It needs surgery. It needs medication. It needs maintenance. It needs care. You know, so often you hear so many people, hey, going into physical therapy. Why? Well, the muscles have deteriorated here. I've got pain there. This is going on. There's always going to be something to do with this falling apart body. So we cannot sit there and become bitter. This is what our lives are going to be since the fall of man. But I like what the psalmist has to say here. He doesn't just acquiesce that we're in these valleys. He doesn't just acquiesce, yes, I go through the valley of the shadow of death. And I'll tell you what, if you want to talk to somebody who sat in the valley of the shadow of death, that would be Job. Look it up. He says that phrase a lot. Referring to that. Why? Because that's where he felt he was. No matter, right? My children are gone. My wife is upset. My way of making a living is gone. Life was hard. He had this illness that pervaded his entire body now. He was ready. He just, man, at any given point, this is going to be over for me just as well as it was over for my children. Of course, that never came. But I firmly believe he sat in that shadow of it. Not just from having lived through death, but having to sit there with that illness himself, wondering when it would be his time. We're going to face these things. And I'm glad that the psalmist doesn't just say that we're going to go through these things, but he talks about how when we go through them, we don't have to be afraid of them. We don't have to fear it. There's something to be said about somebody who has almost died. There's always a small amount of change that takes place in their lives. They rededicate themselves to whatever cause they have or add new habits where there weren't good habits before. And hey, we're going to do this. It's a life-changing thing for some. But as we walk through life, we don't need to fear, hey, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Now, don't be foolish. You know what I mean? It's because you know God has your back, right? You think about the devil taking Jesus up to the high place. Jump! He said he'd protect you from dashing your foot against a stone. Don't tempt the Lord. Don't tempt God is what Jesus said. I'm not going to sit there and say, are you sure you'll take care of me? Because he might let me dash my foot just to prove a point. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be reckless either, is what I'm trying to say. Lock your doors. Do the speed limit. Buckle up, right? For those, you know, some people, they like to carry protection with them. Go ahead and do so. Peter himself carried a sword. That doesn't mean you're afraid. It's important for you to be able to protect things. You know, I might not be afraid of dying, but you ain't touching my kids. And if I'm going to fight, I'm going to want some toys. You know what I'm saying? I want something better than these. You know what I mean? We are going to face hard times. We're going to face the scary circumstances, but we don't have to be afraid. All right, now for those of us that are saved, we understand the biggest thing. Death no longer has a sting for us. If I were to die today because of the saving blood of Jesus Christ, I know where I would go. Breaks my heart when you talk to people. Hey, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? I think so. How terrifying. That'd be my version of a nightmare. Well, you just really never know. Because I'll tell you what, when we say that my good doesn't outweigh my bad, you don't have to be a bank robber or abuser or a violent human being for your good to not outweigh your bad. You just got to have some negative thoughts. You got to understand that sin weighs a whole lot more than good does. And your good cannot undo bad. It just doesn't work that way. You know, if I were to sit there and I were to take good quarters, you know, the change, and I were to take some counterfeit quarters, and I had 75 good quarters, that's a lot of quarters, and I had 72 bad quarters, I'm still going to jail if I get pulled over, you know what I mean? If I've got anything counterfeit, the bad's going to outweigh the good. Yeah, but I've got more good than I do bad, officer. Handcuffs. It doesn't work in any realm of life. I'm grateful for a God who sent his son to die on the cross to pay for my sin. Because if I had to sit there and hope so, rely on some baptism, rely on some money I gave to a priest one time, rely on my ability to say Hail Mary full of grace, I would be terrified. But now I know, not by my works, not by my merit, but by the gift of God, I know where I'm going. And it takes the fear out of it a little bit. It should take the fear out of it all the way to where I'm not nervous about it. Now, I'm not going to sit here and sound crazy. I like life. You know what I mean? I came up, I was getting my clothes this morning. I walked up and everybody was sitting in the bedroom. And the kids had gifts for me. Good morning, Daddy. I love that. I like life. I like coming here seeing you folks. I like it. I like the sun on my face. I like the feel of the shade in my yard as I sit there in it and pray. I like life. I want it to go on for as long as possible. I would never want to put myself into a position where Danielle would have to raise those kids alone. We're not talking about being in a hurry to get to heaven. But if it's my time, there's no reason for fear. There's no reason for it. Because I know that whatever God's plan is, He works all together for good. That He plots it out. And just as He wouldn't abandon me, He wouldn't abandon my loved ones. I understand these things. Death has lost its sting. To the lost person, death is oblivion. Those that are atheistic in their beliefs, that you close your eyes and that's it. The truth is, you close your eyes and that ain't it. It ain't. There's an eternity in hell. And that is a scary, scary idea. Where you go forever paying for sin that could have been settled on the cross. But they fear death. I asked somebody one time, if you don't believe in heaven or hell, why are you so afraid of death? One minute you'd be here and the next minute you'd be gone. What's really to be afraid of? I don't know. It's almost always the answer. I don't know. Let me tell you, deep down inside, I think we know. You know, well, I don't want it to be over. Nobody wants it to be over, but why be so afraid? For us, it has lost its sting. And I'll tell you this, heaven, and I pray I don't see it for a good many years, on the outside of the rapture. Without the rapture, I pray it's a good many years before I see heaven. But it's going to be a wonderful exchange for what I see down here. Wonderful. You come in, hey, pray for so-and-so. This awful thing happened in their family. You know, I think about that prayer request I shared this morning about my cousin. I hate waking up to that garbage. That breaks my heart. And I understand a little bit why it happened. Again, this is a sin-cursed earth. That happens. I get it. But I hate seeing that stuff. You turn on the news, there's been another school shooting. And I'll tell you this, you get rid of every gun on earth, and there's still going to be people dead in schools. That's it. All right, it doesn't matter if that bothers, you know, the world or not, that's the truth. Let's go on over to England. Let's talk about the violence over there. They still got it. As it turns out, they get rid of the guns, they still have violence. It's weird, isn't it? What are they, I mean, without the guns getting out of their holsters, doing whatever they want to do, how do you stop violence? I'll tell you this, because sin natures are left unchecked, and we've stopped teaching the value of human life. We're going to have more issues than this, folks. It's going to get worse. There could never be another bullet made, and I promise you. All right, our guns could disappear today, and things will still get worse because we have lost the value of human life. Starting from how we treat it in the womb to how we treat it when it's in its elder years, we have lost it. And if we don't get that back, we're in for some heartache. I'm tired of seeing that stuff. Car wrecks and people being abused. And what was it? There was that young girl, 14 years old. They got her arrested. I think it was last week. 14 years old, gave birth in the hospital bathroom, threw the child in a trash can. Doctors and nurses all around could have helped her, could have helped her child. But because she didn't want to admit to her mom that she was pregnant, she threw that full-term baby away. You know, I'd like the news better in heaven, where that sort of stuff don't happen. I like that. You get up, is it going to rain today? Did our plans get ruined? Is it going to be all right? We ain't got to worry about that in heaven. We ain't got to worry about prayer requests or funerals or deathbed visits or trips to the hospital. We don't have to be concerned about any of those things up there. It is a better situation than what we've got here. There is no reason to be afraid. And some, they're afraid of the unpredictability of it. Listen, some of us in this room, we've been there a few times where we've come close to being done, where death has almost got us. And the Lord put his hand in that situation and said, no. It's unpredictable. You walk around life afraid that death's coming. You're wasting your life. There's much that God has given us in the form of blessings. Much that God has given us in privileges and joy and excitement. It is far better for us to look to Him for comfort and trust in Him, in His timing. You know, I don't believe in fate. I do believe God has a plan. And I believe that God knows exactly when each and every one of us is coming home. So why should we worry about it? Somebody asked Stonewall Jackson, not a very popular person today. He was against slavery, but he had this quote. They asked him, they said, "General, why is it that when everything's going crazy, you're so calm? You look so calm." And the reason that he gave was this. He goes, "Hey, listen, God has affixed a time for my death, and I don't think about it." You know, there's a lot of appointments you can have that you forget about. I'm good at that. You know, I get a phone call from my doctor the day before. "Matt, don't forget you got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Just call to confirm it." "Oh yeah, I set that like 2 weeks ago." "Okay, yeah, good thing you called. Hey, are we still meeting tomorrow?" "Oh yeah, good thing you called." Listen, I ain't got to write down the date of my death. I ain't even got to know it. It's mine to enjoy it while it's here. That bell will go off and call me home when the Lord rings that bell. That's going to be it. Be it the rapture or my death, Ain't no reason to worry about it. I trust him. When he says he's had enough of me on this world, that's when he's had enough of me on this world. When he says it's time for you to come home, it's time for me to come home. Right? What person out there, what prized fighter swings and then looks over at the guy that rings the bell, goes, is it time yet? No, he wouldn't do that. You'll catch a weird punch doing that. You ever like working with people that watch the clock? I used to have a coworker do that. All right, in 4 minutes, we'll only have 3 half-hour sessions before lunch. Why are you? You must have something really good in your lunch, or you must be really frustrated at work. But let me tell you this: clock watching ain't going to help you. Or the other side, the people who get nervous. I've got all these things to do, and I've only got 4 more hours. Well, you wasted 30 seconds of it telling me that sweet bit of knowledge that you could have spent getting after. I mean, what are you doing? Let's not be worried. Let's not be fearful. And we see why. Why is it that I don't have to be afraid? Well, as we read again in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Because you're there. As Proverbs, it might not be Proverbs, but as the Bible says, he goes before you, he goes behind you, and he walks to the side of you. There's nothing that can get to you he won't deem. He doesn't allow. Job himself, in that great tribulation that hit his life, God still had his hands on him and said, only what I allow. And that's where we sit. Only what I allow. I've got that book, Midnight Meditations, written by Roger Bennett. And it was his thoughts and some of his diary writings and sketches of songs and poetry that he was writing as he was going through his leukemia treatment. And I'll tell you what, if you want perspective on what it's like when a Christian suffers, that's a good book for you to read. I've often read through things like Martyr's Mirror and Memorials of Baptist Martyrs, and even Fox's Book of Martyrs. You read through there, and you see the testimony these people had at the end. Why could they be so strong? How is it? Because they trusted that whatever happened next was in the Lord's hands. And that gave them strength, it gave them courage, and it gave them power over that situation. So many of us, we let things have power over us when God has already given us the victory over those things. God knows every step your life needs to take. He knows the direction. He knows the duration. He knows what's going to take place. He knows all the pit stops. He knows everything. And has he failed you? That's always been my testimony. God has never failed me. So I can look to the future, and you know what I can say? He ain't failed me yet. He ain't going to fail me tomorrow. Why? Because it's not in his nature. Me, I'll drop the ball. You'll let somebody down. God, he doesn't do those things. In the time of my darkest moments, I know he's going to be there just as well as he has always been. Doesn't matter what the threat is. Doesn't matter what the danger is. Doesn't matter what my worries are. He's there. And so often that's what we've got to do. We've got to look at these things going on in our lives and say, so what? I mean, I want you to think for a second of Jairus' daughter. His daughter was dead. Jesus stepped in. I wrote a sermon one time. Went through the 3 different times where Jesus rose somebody from the dead. I called that sermon, When Jesus Ruins Your Funeral. He did. He ruined 3 different funerals. They were ready to bury people. And there they are. Lazarus, they had buried. Right? I mean, you got to think of that poor person who buried him. Those poor people that wrapped him up. All that work they did, ruined. Why? Because it was his plan. To show people who he was. And there's going to be moments where we are in positions, and maybe we're expecting full healings and the Lord gives it. And maybe we're not expecting those things. And the Lord says, no, it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to come home. And that's exactly what it'll be. But no matter where I go, here for longer, here at a limp instead of a walk, up to heaven where I don't have to worry about dying anymore, it doesn't matter. He's walking beside me. He is leading the way. And I know that I'll have every bit of His resources as I go, because He walks with me. You know what brings me joy? Is there's nothing in this life that is bigger than He is. Nothing. I've seen people sit there and they have said, well, that's it. You know, we got the long eye from the doctor. Let's start planning how we're going to wrap this thing up. Let's head on over to the funeral home. Let's make arrangements. Let's call the kids. Let's start planning this thing out. And then they drive home from that doctor's appointment with many more years, Lord willing, in their pocket. Lord takes you places. Lord takes you places. There's nothing bigger than He is. Oh, I don't know how we're going to overcome this. I don't know what we're going to do. Don't forget, you serve a God that is bigger than those giants. And by His command, they will either fall or they will be the instruments in His hands that bring you home. But there is nothing outside of His ability, nothing outside of His power. And folks, that is where we rest. That is where we can have peace. A life that is neurotic from fear of death, that is neurotic from fear of trouble. And don't get me wrong, I've been through some trouble. I go through some trouble. I don't always talk about it, but hey, neither do you. We go through it. And I have found that as long as I walk in God's path, as long as I keep my feet to His steps, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm either going to have comfort, deliverance, or at least some understanding of it. You understand? That's what we get when we follow the Lord, because He's with us. Never forget the love that God has for you. Never forget His watch care is always going to be perfect. You know, somebody made a comment, you know, Gideon, he's got himself a little black eye. Looked over at him, what happened to your eye? He looks over at me, doggy's tail hit me in the eye. Now, personally, I thought his sister might have punched him, but I kind of feel bad. Well, how did my kid get a black eye? You know, you kind of feel like a bad parent doing that. You ever have one of your kids, they fall, they hurt themselves, and you feel miserable about it? You're just like, oh, I can't believe that happened. And there's nothing you could have done. Superman couldn't have flown over there and stopped him fast enough. You know what I mean? But I've been, oh, man. You know, God doesn't have those limitations that we have. You know what I mean? If I'm in the back and I see one of my kids fall off of something, I've got to run all the way over there. God's already there. So there's nothing going to happen in your life He can't control. Nothing happening in your life He can't walk you through. And again, we understand how it is. Those valleys, they must be walked through. There's never going to be a scenario where you bowl a perfect game in life. A lot of people want that. They think money will do it. Hey, if I've got a few million in the bank account and I can go here and I can go there and I'll never have another trouble again as long as I have money. You ask any millionaire out there, they got troubles. Well, how? All their bills are paid. You got more trouble on earth than your bills being paid. Trust me. Well, if I surround myself only by people that I love, or on the other side, I don't let anybody near me, I'll be fine. No, you'll still walk through them. You can't avoid the valleys. Even the people that use the valleys to point, well, how could there be a God if life is so hard? Because it's life, not heaven. We are a sin-filled world, filled with sin-filled people. We're going to have some trouble. We're going to have some heartache. But when I walk through this valley, which I must do, I don't have to walk through it alone. I've known some people, they get so obsessed over the valleys. They get so upset over the idea that bad times may come, it completely spoils the mountains. Completely spoils everything. You know, you could be just as joyful in the heart of the valley as you can be up on the mountain. Because God's blessings still work no matter where you stand. They do. I think sometimes it's a perspective issue. Well, how dare I not have everything peaches and cream? Why can't everything be sunshine and roses? Was that one song the cathedral sing? And now it's sunshine and roses and a thorn every now and then. That's what it must be. Even Paul himself, you know, he sat there and he goes to the Lord, Lord, please take this thorn out of my flesh. Take it away. You know what the Lord says? My grace is sufficient for you. You know what that grace is? That grace is the ability to be in a situation and be almost wholeheartedly unaffected by it. That's what I strive for. How about you? To trust God and to love God so much that it doesn't matter what's hurting. Right? And that's a valid thing. Let's not put that down. But it doesn't matter what's hurting, be it my spirit or my body. It doesn't matter. I am comforted by Him. And again, a valley is a valley. It's hard. But it is made lighter by His presence. It is made lighter by the trust that at any second He could snap His fingers and it all go away. You know, I think about Brother Titus. He sang that song down there at Brother Clark's church. It's called Even If. And the tagline of that song goes, even if you don't, my hope is you alone. So I know the sorrow, I know the hurt, it could all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, that's where I want to be. I want to be with the psalmist. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because He's with me. He's with me. I said this before. I used to like going door knocking with a man named Dan Farrell. He kind of went sideways, but he was a pastor down there in Cincinnati. Ran the college I went to. But that man was pushing a little bit over 7 foot. He had shoulders broader than my car. I like going door knocking with him. Why? Because at that particular time in my life, I could hide right behind him. Man, something came busting out of that house. I could hide right behind that wall of a man and get out of there. Doesn't matter what comes out of this valley. My God is bigger than it. And I'm glad to walk through that valley with him. Wish we could have avoided it. Oh, man, don't you hate hard times? Don't you hate bad news? Don't you hate that sort of... I do. But it's unavoidable. And if I've got to walk through it, at least I get to walk through it with somebody who knows what they're doing. At least I get to walk through it with somebody who loves me, cares for me, and is bigger than any problem I could find in that valley. Heavenly Father, Lord, I sit here praying among people who know what it's like to be in a valley, who know what it's like to walk through and have death color the things in our lives. But Father, we know this, that we find victory through You. We don't have to fear ours. Father, though we have to deal with the loss of others, and Lord, You give us grace for that. We know that You're there. We know that You're listening. We know, Father, that You'll help us. Lord, let us never lose heart. As we know, You aren't the one who gives us that spirit of fear. You give us something else. Help us, Lord, to hang on to that. Help us, Lord, to have hope and faith. Lord, relying on You no matter where this path takes us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.